Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35. Oh. 30.
What are we getting on caught? Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmuck. I'm joined by the one and only Paul Dottino this afternoon. And free agency will be here in just under 4 hours when the clock finally starts ticking and guys can officially sign places. You've heard a lot of rumors the last couple of days about players and, you know, going to various teams and no signed contracts yet. You're going to get to put the name on the dotted line at 4 o'clock today, and all these rumors will become reality. And I know what this show is going to be about here, folks. So Paul and I are going to try to cut you off at the pass a little bit. But let's touch first on the news that happened last night. And again, this isn't released by the Giants. We're simply going off of media reports that John Beeson and the Giants have met on a renegotiation of his contract, which basically amounted to a pay cut. And the bottom line is that it brings down his cap number by about $3 million for this year, which is something a lot of people thought was going to happen. And again, the Giants have not confirmed this. They have not said it's happened. But most media reports are in agreement that they have renegotiated and they've reduced John Beeson's cap number by $3 million and I think his overall cost of his contract by a couple million, and that'll help the Giants have a little bit more cap room this offseason.
Yeah, two things about that, John. First of all, I would have a hunch, without seeing all the numbers that were supposedly tinkered with, that he'll be able to probably make a lot of that back in incentives.
That's what the report said, correct.
Based on stats and appearances. And, of course, you know, with his injury history, game appearances should be very important.
Oh, yeah.
To any renegotiation with him. So, you know, and that's fine. And quite frankly, the other part to this that I want to add, John, is simply put, this is not unexpected. I think most of us who had a clue, okay, understood that the Giants wanted Beeson back, Beeson wanted to be back, the numbers were going to have to change, and in the best case scenario, and I've had this out with many of our viewers and listeners over the course of the last month or so, the best case scenario is that he performs, he's healthy, and he has a good season. But can you count on that? No. But you have to be optimistic and hope that that scenario does present itself. At the very worst, excuse me, wow, you hope he can be part of a defense for most of the season. And if he misses a few games, he misses a few games. The Giants need to build a safety net around him.
Or under him, however you want to look at it.
Well, and if Devon Kennard winds up being the backup middle linebacker, or if McClain is that guy again, or if they go out and get somebody else in the draft, they do need to have a plan B ready. They can't go whistling past the graveyard and think that this guy who's been so hurt so long is going to be healthy for 16. I get that. But my goodness, John, and you tell me if you've caught this on your shows. On the shows I've done, I've had more people than not say, get rid of him. He's hurt. He's older. He's done. We don't want to deal with it. I don't want to rely on this guy anymore because he can't stay on the field. Well, I couldn't disagree more. I'm happy this thing is done.
Now, what I'll say to one thing you said during your statement, I would not want to use Kennard as my backup middle linebacker. I want to put Kennard in a spot and let him learn the spot. Let him get used to an NFL linebacker position. He was moved around so much in college. I feel like he's almost a jack of all trades but a master of none at this point. And that's a great skill to have, and I would like to take advantage of that. But at this young age, I would like to have him settle in at that Sam linebacker spot and let him get used to playing that position in the 4-3, something he didn't do a ton of in college, and really becoming great at that position before you start moving him around again.
I understand the point. I think he's really, really football astute.
I agree with that.
And so I would not necessarily shy away from that. I do understand, though, where you're coming from. It's not something you necessarily would like to do, but I look at this kid, and I talk to this kid, and I think he can be a middle linebacker in this league. So I'm intrigued by the possibility that he could be the number two middle linebacker. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to lock it in, but I think it's something that needs to be considered.
201-939-4513. That's the telephone number if you want to join the conversation. We'll go to a one maybe a little bit past as we get ready for free agency today at 4 o'clock. The NFL year officially begins. and we get going in 2015. Also, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We will monitor that over the course of the show. A couple other pieces of news from yesterday. Brandon Graham, the defensive end from the Philadelphia Eagles that many reporters said the Giants had interest in, ended up signing a four-year, $25 million contract, I think, or so.
Indeed.
With the Philadelphia Eagles. Kerry Williams signs a contract with the Seattle Seahawks for about $6 million a year, just to show you how ridiculous the market continues to be.
Did they watch him play?
Frank Gore bails on the Eagles. Now he's rumored to go to the Colts, along with Andre Johnson. So a little Miami Hurricane reunion up there. And all the signings from yesterday we already knew about. Iapati is on his way to the Cardinals. That was something that broke last night. No news yet on DeMarco Murray. Really, no news at all on anybody giving him a big deal. Apparently, he's a little bit annoyed with the Cowboys for not reaching out to him. Though the Cowboys have said, you have our offer, get other ones and come back to us. But apparently, he's a little miffed that they haven't been more aggressive going after him in free agency.
Yeah, on the basis that Frank Gore has now done a double take on the Eagles, I really think the Eagles should make a pitch for Murray. I really do.
I could see them using C.J. Spiller, too. I could see him fitting in that Chip Kelly attack.
Potentially. You know, Murray has been healthier over the course of his shorter career.
Though, until last year, he hadn't been healthy his first 3 years in the league.
True. But in the role that he was...
Oh, Murray's a better player. Absolutely.
In the role that he was being used at, he was healthier and more productive. Spiller's had a lot of nicks and bumps and bruises
over
time. But I think, you know, he knows the division. He's a tough, physical, inside, between the tackles runner.
And Chip Kelly likes to run the ball. I think Murray would be a good fit down there. I agree with you.
I would not want to see DeMarco Murray on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that would be bad for the rest of the NFC East.
Yeah.
I really do. And you know, somebody asked, I guess it was Joe and Evan asked me on WFAN yesterday. They were talking to me about what the Eagles have done and also the trade sending McCoy to Buffalo. And I said, look, I'm going to tell you flat out, there are coaches in the NFC East and throughout the NFC that lost a lot of sleep preparing for LeSean McCoy. Because this guy was a fellow that you had to deal with. And he gave you a lot of problems, especially in that offense. So, you know, if him and Coach Chip Kelly are not getting along philosophically, well, you know what? That's too bad for the Eagles because I think they made a horrible mistake in making this trade. And furthermore, I think it's laughable, okay? I'm just going to run out and say it. They're overpaying for these guys. Sanchez, overpaid as a backup quarterback. Maxwell, overpaid as a corner from Seattle. And quite honestly, I was laughing my butt off when I heard that they were going to sign Frank Gore. Because Frank Gore does not have many treads left on his tire. And you know, I'm thinking to myself, holy smokes, what are they doing? Great. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Well, unfortunately, Frank Gore's had second thoughts now, and looks like he's not going to fit.
Well, and two of the guys they tried to get, and I don't want to spend too much time in the rest of the NFC East here, but we'll get to the Giants in a second. They tried to bring Jeremy Maclin back. They offered him apparently $9 million a year, if the reports were correct. He went for 11 to the Chiefs, which you understand. You want to go for the most money when you're in your prime years.
So
I
the Chiefs
that.
Will actually have a receiver score a touchdown this year.
They're going to try their darndest, Paul. And the other guy they tried to go after was Devin McCourty, who's the best safety on the market. Apparently, they actually offered him more money than the Patriots did. He decided to go to New England. So the Eagles did try to go after a couple guys with their money, didn't get him, and I think those are the better players that they lost out on. Anyway, let me ask you one more thing about the NFCs before we say goodbye. Theoretically, Murray leaves Dallas, whether he goes to Philly or Jacksonville or the Raiders, whatever team that has a lot of cap space. I think it'll be a good fit with the Jets, to be honest with you. If they want to have a run-heavy offense and a workhorse, is there a better guy to bring in if you're the Jets than DeMarco Murray to anchor your running game? I don't think so. How much is the Cowboys' running game affected by losing him? Or is that offensive line enough where maybe it's not as dominant, but it's still good enough to have that run-first offense they had last year?
You know, John,
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I really like that offensive line a lot. So how much is that affected? Well, they may not have a 1,600-yard back.
But can they have two guys combined for 15?
Maybe. Are they good enough to have an 1,100-yard back? Yeah. I would think I could see that.
So they'll go a notch down is what you're saying.
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to go a notch down.
I'm with you on that.
How far down... I just don't know. Now, I remember one of their backs had legal trouble.
Oh, Joseph Randle.
There you go, Randle, yes. Who I think they liked.
Still on the roster, but now he's, you know, this is the second thing in 2 years now.
Now he's got problems.
He stole the cologne and the underwear last year.
Right.
And this year, I don't remember quite what he did.
He did something else.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And I think, you know, that's kind of a blow to them because I think he could have been like that 1A guy.
Yeah.
But now he may not be there. So now they may be in the market for two backs
instead of just one. They must have an empty stable at this point. That's a good point. Now, and I think Paul brought up a great point with those Eagles signings that he didn't like. The overpay for Maxwell, which I agree with. The overpay for Sanchez, which I agree with. I think wherever Frank Gore goes, he's going to get overpaid based on the fact that I think he slowed down the last couple of years, which is the 49ers. And this is why Giant fans should not be too panicked that the Giants haven't been out in front on a lot of these early signings. Why? Every single signing. And you know what? The only one that maybe wasn't is the Julius Thomas signing because I don't think he was severely overpaid. I thought he got about what I thought he was going to get based on his production. But most of the signings to me have been overpays. You know what? Devin McCourty's a great player. What safety makes $10 million a year?
Yeah, I know.
So I think a lot of the guys that have been signed so far, how about the money Jeremy Parnell got going to the Jaguars? The guy's started six games. He gets $30 million. I mean, guys, and this is why the Giants are being patient. They have limited salary cap space, even with the Beeson restructure. And they're biding their time to make the right signing, the best value signing. They're not going to get that big splash this year, guys. Remember, last year you had splashes. You had Schwartz. You had Jennings. You had Walter Thurman. Dominic Rogers, Cromartie's the perfect example. And you had a lot of guys that came in last year are pretty good money. You're not going to have this year. You can't do it every year. The salary cap does not allow it. So they're being patient, Paul, and they're going to try to find the guy at the right value. Obviously, a lot of the reports last night and this morning talked about Shane Vereen. Now, apparently, the Jets have interest in it as well. And the Jets, we know how much cap space they have. So we'll see how that goes down with all these teams out there. Look, Shane Vereen's a good player. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. I think he's very similar to Rashad Jennings in terms of his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. A smaller back, just 5'10", 205. More elusive. I agree with that as well. So the Giants are waiting for the right deal, not just the most expensive splash deal with the best player.
You know, take to heart something that Jerry Reese said, during one of his offseason pressers. And, you know, Jerry's very good about saying a lot of nothing in those things. And I'm not trying to be insulting at all. But, you know, he's very guarded, as most GMs are. They're not going to tip their hands. But, you know, occasionally you'll ask him a legit question, and he'll give you something that'll at least put you in the right direction as to what the sense or the logic is behind it. And Jerry, I think the most important thing that you could get out of one of those comments that he makes is he says, I think that at the beginning of free agency, you usually have your big rush, and that's where a lot of guys get overpaid.
And I think this big rush is a little bit larger than it usually is.
Absolutely. I think this applies. Jerry's comments apply perfectly to what we're seeing this
especially
week.
Especially, for one, there happen to be a lot of good free agents, and two, there's just so much money out there. Those two have really met in the middle
no
of this
doubt.
Year.
And then usually there's that second wave where things settle down quite a bit, and now you get that second-tier free agent who's talking about truly a second-tier price, not some guy who's looking to still get a first-tier price who doesn't deserve it. These guys are going to be more in line with what their true value is. Jerry has said that a number of times over the years, and I think this season, probably more than any in recent memory, John, I see it shaking out that way. So what I would say to Giants fans is this. If they don't sign anybody today, tomorrow, maybe into next week.
Oh, boy. Don't, Paul, don't do that to us. Do you know what type of phone call is going to be getting if that happens?
But here's what you'll probably wind up getting. You'll wind up getting little Twitter messages about signing a second-tier guy at a good rate. I mean, look, I want to throw this out to you, and this is going to drive some people nuts. Are you ready for this? I'm going to throw one out to you. Vince Wilfork, okay? He's got a lot of mileage on his wheels. However, he's a plugger, a big, nasty plugger.
So they could bring him in the same way they brought in Sean Rogers a few years ago.
Bingo.
Now, all depends, though, how much money Wilfork could get from somewhere else.
And that's why what I'm doing now, I'm watching Vince Wilfork's name on the internet and seeing who's he connected to, how many people is he visiting, what kind of money does he want. Remember, he's in his 30s, John. He's on the back end of his career. He is a Sean Rogers-type player right now. To where he's not what he was right now, he's really a second-tier value in terms of pricing, in my mind. That's what I'm looking for. Vince Wilfork hiding in the bushes, hiding in the grass, if you can at that size. Hiding in the grass, okay? Bear with me, folks.
Some big grass.
Tall grass. Weeds.
It's a forest.
Trees. Forest. There you go. And perhaps in a week or two, we hear that Wilfork, who would be a good fit for what the Giants need, suddenly comes in on like a two-year deal that's at a second-tier rate, and bingo, 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 the Giants wind up getting exactly what they need for a price that fits their scale. So that's what I want to tell you folks out there. Something like that, hypothetical, would be a potential solution that would help this Giants team.
The key isn't big name. The key is big value. You want to get the most for your bucks because your bucks are limited, and that's what the Giants are going to try to do. We have 40 minutes.
A lot of big butt there, too.
Oh, that is true. We got 40 minutes. Let's get to your calls. We'll try to go a little rapid fire today, try to get as many people in as we can. I know you guys are very excited. 201-939-4513. Dre in Atlanta will lead us off. Dre, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Big Sean? How you doing, P-Dot?
What's up, Dre?
Now, here's a question. Now, you said you didn't want to make a splash, but I got a little ripple. You know, the Rams just released Jake Long, you know. I know he's coming off an injury, but if he passes a physical, that'll be a pretty decent, ripple we can make if he comes in at the right price. I'm not sure what kind of money he's asking for, but I know they cleared up a lot of cap space by releasing him. But is that an area that you think the Giants might, you know, want to visit just to see if what his availability is like?
Well, for number one, he has to be healthy, Dre, and I think you hit that on the head when you talked about passing that physical for one. To me, he fits into that young veteran mold that you're looking for in a free agent. But again, it depends on price. Look, he's a big name. He's a lot of talent. People know he's very talented. But how much will that injury bug push that price down? I think that remains to be seen. I'm honestly not sure.
I would say this about Jake Long. I don't think, based on what I've read now, that he could pass the physical, and I think he's a few months away at least. So I would keep his number on speed dial if I were the Giants, and I would investigate him once it gets time to open for training camp and find out if he can pass the physical, because here's my thing. At the very least, okay, if he's healthy enough to perform, now at that point he's not going to be in a position to really negotiate a very healthy contract, so I think you'll be able to get him at a bargain rate. I think at the very least he could be the swing tackle. You know, give him a chance to compete for a starting job in training camp if he's healthy. And if he wins one, maybe the deal has incentives that if you wind up starting, you get X number of dollars more. But I'd have no problem biding my time, waiting on Jake Long, seeing what his physical status is, and potentially maybe a training camp, giving him a call, letting him come in here and see what they can do with him. And it's all gravy, of course, if it works out. And when I got mocked about that by a couple of people on Twitter last night, here's what I said to them. Remember Bob Whitfield? Okay? Remember Sean Locklear? Sean Locklear, who had a really, really good season for the Giants after David Deal got hurt. Some of these offensive linemen, they last 8, 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah, offensive linemen can play until the mid-30s. They can.
They overcome a lot of injuries, and they somehow find a way to squeeze a little more juice out of that orange at the back end of their careers, John. I've seen it happen too many times. So you don't ignore a guy like that. You think about it, and you say, you know what? There may be something there. So I'm with you. I would keep tabs on him. Now, but he's not like an immediate answer.
Now, he's going to turn 30 this year, and he tore his ACL at the end of October. So those are the two things you have to keep in mind.
Sure.
I appreciate it, but I will say this, and Giants fans need to listen. This, remember back when you was a kid, you know, your parent gave you that dollar, and you walk into the candy store, you want everything? That's how we are. We figure we got 10 space, and we want to buy everything that comes that we see. But we got to remember, we got to pay these draft picks also.
That dollar they gave you when you were a kid isn't buying as much candy today.
Thank you, Dre.
All right, have a good one.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, look, and that's the thing. You know, you got a bunch of people that got handed, you know, a bucket full of cash, and they're sending them loose in the toy store. And what are you going to do? You're going to buy a lot of toys.
Pro Football Talk is telling us they are bringing back, the Jets are, Bilal Powell.
Well, I don't think that's a big deal, necessarily.
Just that it's a running back. And if I heard earlier, did you mention that somebody said the Jets and Vereen maybe?
That. Very different types of back, though, Powell.
Different types of backs, but nonetheless, maybe another running back clogging up.
All right, here we go.
The Jets.
Schefter, Frank Gore plans to sign with Indy. 3 years, $12 million, $7.5 guaranteed.
Okay.
And the Colts also have signed, apparently, former Eagle pass rusher Trent Cole.
Wow. My issue with that.
Which one?
Frank Gore. Not so much Cole, but Gore. Remember, we talked about how much tires may be left on those wheels. He's now going to a team that plays its games on artificial turf inside. Not a good thing.
That's a
when
really
your
good
running
point,
back
Paul.
Has carried the ball a billion times on natural grass his whole career.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Not a good thing.
201-939-4513. Back to the calls. Let's go to Kevin in North Carolina. Kevin, you're up next, pal.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks
Doing
for taking
great, Kevin.
The call.
What's up, pal?
Just a couple quick questions. You know, you look at the Giants, the way they're structured right now, and I'm looking at their salaries as they currently stand. And I guess I have to question, and it's not going to be popular, but, you know, why would they give JPP all this money, you know, on a franchise, you know, on a franchise tag? You know, just due to the fact that, you know, they have so many more holes to fill as an organization. You know, it just doesn't seem logical to do it and to know that you're only going to have him for 1 year. And he's probably going to walk because he's going to get bigger money in the open market next year. It seems other teams are able to get rid of or release some of their high profile type players. And my thought is, you know, the sum is equal. How can I put this? The sum of the players that the Giants could bring in to equal the value or the price tag that they're paying to JPP, you know, you could probably bring in, like, at least two starters and then a second-tier, you know, offensive lineman.
Well, hold on 1 second. I'm not sure if you can. I mean, look at some of the numbers these guys are going for. Brandon Graham got $7 million a year. I mean, if JPP's in the free agent market, how much money – in just as a theoretical game here, if JPP was on the open market right now and the Giants didn't franchise him, what type of contract do you think he would get from another team?
I would say – I probably wouldn't say Ndamukong Suh money, but, I mean, he'd be pretty close. And I'm looking at – I'm also looking at his production over the last couple of years. I mean, you know, he's got 12.5 sacks last year, but who were they against? You know, late in the game against the Redskins, maybe a couple against the Titans.
No, but you're right. But if you want to replace JPP with a player similar to his talent level, how much money is that going to cost?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. The sum is greater than its parts.
Well, where are you going to get him, though? Never mind if you can afford him. Who's out there of a comparable ability?
Well, I mean, you know, they've got some younger players.
Don't give
there.
Me Greg Hardy
I'm not saying that DeMontre Moore is the answer. But the bottom line is you need a rotation in this league, and you know you need good depth, and that's where I think some of these other teams like Seattle. I mean, think about Seattle. You know, in 3 years ago, they had a bunch of really good, talented young players that are now hitting the free agency market. But you know, I just think you need to bring in more. You need to have more depth across the team, opposed to spending $14 million on JPP. He's one player. He gets dinged up a lot. And, you know, Eli's got to think about maybe restructuring his contract. Victor Cruz as well. You know, I mean, these players, they're, you know, you look at the top tier here, you look at these salaries, and, you know, you got the first, you know, you got rid of Kiwanuka, Beeson restructured. You're probably not going to bring back Antrell Roll. Will Beattie is marginal at best. You know, you're spending a lot of money on some of these players, and, you know, I just don't see the value, and I guess the question is, well, who do you back them up with? Well, you got to develop some, you know, you got to develop these players, but you know, to overpay, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing about it, once you develop these players, then you have to sign to that second contract. I mean, if you don't want to pay anybody big money, you would never sign your own draft picks to second contracts.
Well, that's true. Well, you got it. Well, you have to make that decision. I mean, you're going to pay Odell Beckham, and you know, not any in the near future. But, you know, he's going to want to restructure a deal if he's going to stay with the Giants probably over the next 2 or 3 years. You know, so, I mean, you know, all this money is just, you know, I'm just, I like JPP a lot. I just think he had a lot more value when he had better talent around him. And to keep him there at that price point and then try to, you know, put together a long-term deal for him, I don't know. Just my opinion, of course.
Hey, look, but, in fairness, you know, and look, and I think the basis of your opinion is right. Do I think the production of the last 3 years on paper from what you get out of JPP, is it worth the $14 to $15 million that the franchise tag is? Probably not. Unfortunately, the way the market is, the team doesn't have much of a choice. And if you look at the way a lot of these teams are structured salary-wise, you're going to see each team, even the really good ones, they're going to have two or three players on their roster that eat up a lot of their cap space. Now, you can't go as high as, like, you know, 50, 60 million on these numbers. But if you look at the Packers, they have Jordy Nelson making big money. They have Matthews making big money. They got Jordy Nelson making big money. I'm going to throw Randall Cobb into that mix too. The Cowboys, yeah. Tyron Smith at left tackle, Tony Romo, Dez Bryant. And guess what? They might have to let DeMarco Murray walk because of the money they've given to those other guys. You know, the Patriots, they just gave Gronkowski money. Tom Brady makes a lot of money. They just gave Devin McCourty a lot of money. So you're going to have guys at the top of your salary structure that are your best players that you're going to have to pay, because that's how much great players make in this league. And might at times you say, is the value exactly commensurate with the production? Maybe not. But look, stars wins games. And eventually to get these stars, you're going to have to dish out the cash for it.
Yeah. Like I said, though, I'd rather see the Giants, you know, get some depth, you know, across the board. You know, like I said, between Eli and JPP, they're at over 30. They're about 32 million this year on the salary cap, and you know, against the cap, I should say. And then you know, you got Victor Cruz in there coming off of ACL, and you know, blown out knee at 80, you know, 8.6 million. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think if the Giants are gonna make a push anytime soon, I think they need to make some hard decisions.
No, but here's the problem, though. I mean, you can't make a hard decision on Victor Cruz. You ask him to restructure, he says no. What do you do? If you cut him, all that dead money gets pushed up, and then all of a sudden you can't do anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not like you can just make these guys restructure.
See, what you're asking for is not practical. It doesn't work in the real world.
Theoretically, it's great.
But it's not reality. And quite honestly,
the only reality would be JPP.
Quite
that
honestly,
the only realistic opportunity.
Thanks for the call.
The realistic possibilities are that Eli will get an extension, and it will help out the cap number, and I'm sure that's going to happen. I don't have the date or the hour that
will. But again, they have to agree on numbers and years that work for both teams.
But it will happen.
And I think it's years that's probably, you know, one of the sticking points.
And it will happen, okay? It will happen. At some point, it will. Would they like to do a deal with JPP to get his cap number down? Absolutely they would. Why wouldn't they? So, you know, the criticism.
But JPP probably saw that in Dominican Sue contracts and it's like, ooh, that looks nice to me.
JPP is thinking he's going to have a healthy season and at least duplicate what he did last year, if not do better. And therefore, he's thinking to himself, well, you know what? Maybe I could even do better with the finances than what I'm doing now. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays out the year. But then again, the Giants can franchise him a second year in a row, too.
And it gets more costly if they do
it
that.
It does, but you know what? If he goes out and gets 20 sacks this year, I'd have no problem franchising him again.
No, that's true. And we've seen teams franchise player a couple times when they have to. No question. 201-939-4513. Vic's in Florida. Vic, you're up next, pal. What's going on?
Hey, okay. How you guys doing?
What's up, Vic?
Listen, I got a question for Paul.
Sure.
Paul, do you remember the 70s?
Very well.
It's more of a trivia thing, okay? In 1970 or 71, Dan Dierdorf, Jack Ham, Jack Youngblood, those guys won. The Giants had the number one overall pick. Do you remember who he was, the biggest bust in Giants history?
Are you talking about Rich Glover?
No,
the defensive tackle from Jersey City.
Out of West Texas State.
The track star, who was a running back.
Right.
He was a pretty decent kickoff returner, but he had fumbleitis, very bad hands.
Right. Now, the next question I have, I agree with you 100% on Wilfork. I would like to bring him in for a couple of years, not a big tag, you know, and see what happens. I'm not even trying to attempt and guess who they're going to get because I'm too nervous already. But anyway, that's the question I had, and, you know, that's it. I love your show, and I'll see you another time.
Okay, sir. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, my friend.
Bringing up a kick returner who left a lot to be desired. And as you know, John, over the years, the Giants have had swing and miss on a lot of kick returners. It's not been a great position here. Not like a Yankee center fielder.
I want to address a couple things on Twitter here. Anastasio Vasquez at Stas55. This is Stas out in Washington. Reports are that the Bears are in talk with Anshul Roll. Roll confirmed that Giants haven't reached out yet. Makes no sense. Roll could be a big value. We had an opportunity to negotiate him when no one else could, and we did nothing. But again, to say you did nothing, you don't know that the Giants didn't do anything. To say the Giants haven't reached out to Roll in the last couple days of free agency doesn't mean anything, Stas. If they gave him their best offer a month or two ago, and they haven't reached out since, it's because that was their best offer. You know, it's the same thing with DeMarco Murray and the Cowboys. He's complaining that the Cowboys haven't reached out the last couple of days. Well, they gave him your best offer. And they said, well, if you have better offers, come back with us, and then we'll make an adjustment. So that's just kind of the way that goes. Just because you don't hear something doesn't mean it's not happening.
In the past, I will tell you that I've talked to many free agents who, for one reason or another, they were not top priorities on what the team was trying to do because of either the finances they were trying to clear out or because they were trying to shoot for a different player at a different position that may cost them a lot of money. And so what they will tell the player often is, listen, be patient. It's not like we don't want to talk to you, but we really kind of got to get these things in order first. We got to put these apples and these pears and these oranges where they got to go on the shelf. And once we get done with this, this, and this, then we'll be more than happy to talk to you. We are interested in talking. We understand that what the ballpark numbers are going to be, but we just can't get there yet. We got to clean up this part of the deal first. That does happen a lot more than you think. And so that's why when you hear about there hasn't been much going on between a team and a player, don't panic. Don't get upset about it. In many cases, it's because the team simply has other things they're trying to clean up first. That's all.
201-939-4513. One other tweet very quickly. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, Stu DeMeglo. He wants to know about Brian Bulaga, one of the few offensive linemen that has not found a home yet, one of the top guys on the market. I figure he'll get a contract as big, if not bigger, than Orlando Franklin got from the Chargers. There's one thing I worry about with him, though, is that he has been hurt a lot the last 3 years. He's missed a lot of games.
Franklin got $7 million a year.
And Bulaga's going to get a $40 million contract. Right?
Purnell, the former Cowboy, just got $6.5 million a year, right?
I think four. I thought it was like 5 years, 30 or something like that.
Got six?
Yeah, give or take. 4 years, 30 maybe, something like that.
And that means Bulaga is, as I said a couple of months ago, because I would like to have had him here on the Giants. I think he'd be a good fit for them. But at the same time.
Five-year, 32 for Parnell, sorry.
A little over six.
And this is the guy that started six games. Bulaga's a Pro Bowl caliber tackle.
Yeah. But Bulaga's going to wind up getting probably something like $8 million a year, I would think. Who knows, maybe even more by one of these teams that has extra cash floating around. You know, I as much as I would like to have seen him be a good fit for the Giants, I just don't see the numbers being in their ballpark.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our very, very busy phones. We're trying to keep an eye on Twitter, see if any news breaks as we're on the show, folks. Let's go to Rolando in Queens. Ro, what's up, pal?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well, buddy.
Poorly.
What's up?
Hi.
I've been noticing that we're more or less targeting defensive end. Is there any concern about DeMontre Moore and Robert Ayer? Because most of the time when you see anything on the Giants, which is not much, it's more or less like us with a defensive end. Do you know anything, John?
You go ahead and take that
one, Paul.
Well,
here's what I will tell you. You know Ayers was injured at the end of last season.
Torn bicep.
Yeah. And so he had to have surgery for that. So there's a rehab involved. So that puts a little bit of a question mark on him in terms of when he'll be ready and how soon he's going to be able to come back and how good he's going to be when he does. So you keep that in the back of your mind. In terms of DeMontre Moore, I understand that there was a picture tweeted out of him in the last week or so where he had his arm in a sling on the Twitter. So apparently, he's had something go on with his shoulder as well. Well, who are your other defensive ends on this team? Well, JPP and Kerry Wynn.
That's it.
So two of your four defensive ends apparently are coming off of medical issues.
A bicep, though, generally that's not something that's going to keep you out. I saw Robert Ayers here a couple weeks ago, and he thinks he'll be okay for even the spring.
Shouldn't.
Right.
Oh, good.
You know. So, but you do put that in the back of your mind. So, I mean, is it shocking that they would, you know, attempt to upgrade and see if they could add a defensive end, a pass rusher in particular? Not at all.
No, not at all.
So that's why I think some of those names are coming out like they are. And please, please understand something. I can't give you a percentage on this, but there is a very high percentage of names who are connected to teams on the internet, on talk radio, on the blogs, and they are just so, so wrong.
And I want to add a couple of things to that, too, what Paul just said. Number one, I think one factor that I look at when you take a look at free agents at defensive end, the draft is also very heavy in pass rushers this year. So I would like to give myself an opportunity to draft a pass rusher as well and develop one to be better in a couple years. I think that would be a good thing. Number two, Ian Rappaport on Twitter 8 minutes ago, and this is going to a question that Stu asked, the Packers are expected to keep Brian Bulaga, sources say. Yeah. They are closing out on a deal, high priority for them. So there you go, Stu. There's your answer.
Yeah, I thought he was going to stay in Green Bay anyway.
Yeah,
and I
me
also
too.
Heard that James Carpenter has signed with the Jets. But is there any names or anybody or a little clue in terms of what we might get in the safety? You know, do we have to wait until 4 o'clock?
Well, honestly, I hate to tell you this. You might have to wait a little later than 4 o'clock.
I was going
to
say, I don't think it's going to be done at 4 o'clock.
So
it's killing me. Okay, guys, thank you so much. You gave me something on the Montreal, and you gave me something on Robert Ayer, and I was concerned about both of them. Thank you, bro. Have a nice weekend. Take care. Appreciate it.
You too.
I didn't notice that on Twitter Moore had something on.
Yeah. And, you know, someone had passed that along to me that it was, I guess, in the last week or so. Yeah, I guess he was at a function, may have been back at his old stomping grounds at Texas A&M. And he had something on his shoulder. So I had not been informed of that. And, again, I don't want to state that as fact as much as I'm just telling you this is what I had been mentioned or told. And so that's news to me. I don't know if it's serious or not. Here's what I will say, though. The Giants, understanding that they've got to do something with their front seven, owe it to themselves, as, again, Jerry Reese likes to say, do due diligence.
Yep.
They've got to investigate a bunch of guys to see what's out there, to see what the market is. Because here's the one thing, John, that I don't think any GM ever wants to get caught doing. He doesn't want to get caught asleep at the switch when all of a sudden Team X signs Player Y, and all of a sudden they look at it and they say, well, wait a minute. That's much less than we thought he was going to sign for. We could have fit him under our cap. We could have used that guy.
And that's why if you see a player you like, even if it might be in a position that you might not perceive
as
a need, you have to go after it.
You got to call and at least make an inquiry.
Absolutely.
You have to. You have to. Otherwise, you wind up getting burned.
You miss out on deals. I mean, I think the Jets were pretty disappointed last year that they let Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie walk out of their building.
Oh, no doubt.
And drive 20 miles down the road here, and then the Giants didn't let him leave the building.
And amazingly, because Jerry had put in the call,
said,
hey, DRC, you know, we'd like to talk to you. I honestly don't know if they thought they were going to have enough to get him.
No, in fact, I think Jerry Reese said at a press conference that he was surprised they did have enough to get him, if I recall that properly.
I think he did. I don't know who the other primary suitors were other than the Jets.
Those are the only two that I remember.
Were they
the Dolphins, maybe?
I don't know.
I remember the Jets and the Giants.
So I don't know what the potential bidding war would have been, but here's a case where all of a sudden it's like, well, this is about as high as we can go, and oh, yeah, deal? We got it? Signed.
And, you know, I want to put it this way, too. Think of it this way. You know, you're doing like a fantasy football draft. I know Paul hates his fantasy football. That's fine. But let's say you're picking eighth in the first round, all right? And you have a list of players that you think are going to be there. And then you pick on your wraparound pick in round number two. You have a bunch of guys. All right, I'll target this guy, this guy, this guy. One guy you really don't like, but you have him as like your sixth best player, ends up being there when you pick in the second round. You never expected you were going to be able to get him. You maybe, you know, don't love him for whatever reason, but you're like, you know what? I can't pass him up at this point. I have to. He's too good for me to pass him up. And that's, for layman's terms, or something that you guys might understand that you guys do, like fantasy sports, that's the type of situation you run into. The value is too good to pass him up in that spot. Yeah.
All the calls must be made, and what happens after that happens. That's simple.
Stefan in Illinois is up next. Stefan, what's going on, buddy?
Hello.
Paul, how are you doing?
Doing well,
hi,
buddy.
My first comment is that Giants fans have to remember we're not a flashy organization, so we're not going to put the news out there. So you have to be patient with the organization, Jerry Reese, you know, with the scouts and stuff like that, to know who we're going to pick up. Second thing is, Paul, if we don't get an offensive lineman as number nine, who do you think the Giants should pick up?
Well, you know, I've been very strong in still insisting the Giants have to improve that O-line, so you're right about that. But I also believe that the defensive front seven is going to need a pass rusher of some type.
How about a run stopper?
Now, I could see that too, but if they can get a stud pass rusher at nine.
I'm on board with that, and I've said that to you.
You know, we have talked about that. That would probably be my second choice as I sit here now without any free agents having come into this building. Again, to happen, I may feel differently.
All right, let me ask you this. Who's your top lineman that you want Giants to go for? And if he's not there, then who's your second best person that you want Giants to go for?
Well, are you talking the draft or free agency?
All right. Let's say free agency works out and we show up like a safety here and a linebacker there, and we are going to pick number nine, and the offensive lineman you want, Paul, is gone. Who do you want as second tier?
Again, as John and I have talked, if Scherf is considered a tackle by the Giants and he's there at nine, that's my pick.
He's saying he's gone, though. Let's say he's off the board.
Wow. If he's off the board.
I know, right?
Of the guys in the defensive front that are around, there could be around. And I'm taking Dante Fowler off the board for you. It's not going to be that easy. Sorry.
Thank you.
So I know that's where you're going.
I think about Dupree.
Okay.
How about Shelton?
All right. Any linebacker that you might say looks sexy enough for you?
Beasley.
I mentioned Beasley last week, but see, here's what I need to know. I need to know about his adaptable skill set.
Can he play a 4-3 linebacker?
That's what I need to know. Again, you said to me lineman. Yep. I'm going outside linebacker for him, John.
Okay.
And
you know what? He can drop down on third down, though.
On occasion, we could do some stuff with that. Sure. Although I'd rather not have him drop down. I'd rather have him stand up like LT used to do.
Oh, that's fine. You can do that, too.
That's what I'd rather do.
You get out of your time.
One more question.
Already. Yeah, go ahead.
One more
up.
Question before you guys let me go. Say Roe does sign with whoever, and there's not a good enough sexy playmaker safety out there in free agency. Who do you like in the second round? Because I don't think there's a safety in the first round to get.
I don't think, honestly, there's a safety worth picking at that ninth spot in the second round either, to be quite honest with you. I think at that point, you're looking at a third-round pick for a safety.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for the time. You guys have a nice week.
Thanks, Stefan. Appreciate it, bud. I feel like he depressed you with those questions.
Well, because...
he's a little down now.
It's very, very difficult right now.
The tan came out of his face a little bit. He's a little paler.
There are a number of tentacles, you know, flailing in the water here. And until free agency is completed... it's really kind of hard to pin down, you know, what you think is best for the team. Look, they don't even know upstairs right now, based on, you know, where we stand today. So, you know, we're giving you total hypotheticals based on hypotheticals based on hypotheticals. Very, very difficult. That's why I love when all these writers get out there and they say what they're going to say with their mock drafts. And this guy's going to sign there and he's going to sign there and this is the mock draft and this is what they're going to draft. What, are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me with the 50 million twists and turns and curves that these stories and these needs and these factors are going to happen over the course of the next month or so? You're really going to tell me right now who they're going to take in the mock draft? Come on. No. Absolutely not.
And by the way, Ben Gruen corrects me. I got them mixed up. I called Ben Gruen a bicep. He was a pec. That was my fault.
Oh.
He was a torn pec. That's my bad. Okay. And that rehab
it's a little bit close.
Connected. The rehab for the pec, I think, is a little bit longer. But if I remember right, and I'm looking at this article right now, at least according to CBS Sports, that ended up not requiring surgery. It wasn't quite as serious as originally
thought. He didn't.
I
stand corrected, and I apologize.
I see an article here. I'm not sure if that ends up being right. Let me see if I can find it here. Let's see.
I remember when Michael Strahan had that. It's a big, big problem.
Let's see here. This is this is a report by Larry Hartstein from December 2nd. The season injury, pectoral injury suffered by Robert Ayers will not require surgery at this time, reports ESPN.
At this time.
I'm not sure, honestly. I don't know if he has surgery
or
not. I don't know.
I don't know.
I can find that out, though, for you guys. And I'm sure the Giants will. I'm not sure if they ever announced that or not, the surgery. But
after the fact,
here's
like,
the bottom
when we
line.
Get to training camp, Tom will tell us.
It's a torn pec, and it's going to take a little while for them to get back from that. And that is a longer rehab than the bicep injury. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. And Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland, still looking for that splash. What's up, Shakes?
Actually, I'm not looking for the splash because I figure it's not coming.
Okay, good. You wised up.
Going in the top. But I'm glad that we tried to acquire Devin McCourty. That we actually, well, you know, the rumors, of course, you don't know if it's true. But the rumors is that we had strong interest in McCourty. We went strong after him. He decided to stay in New England, so be it. But I don't want to splash, but I want us to make a drizzle, though. Can we make a drizzle? I mean, now, listen.
Can we make a drizzle?
As far as the offensive line,
I wanted
Ayupati, right? But oh. I see that he's going to go to Arizona.
Not getting him.
So Bulaga was like kind of my last hope because Franklin was off the board already.
Not getting them either.
Like I said, Bulaga was like kind of my last hope for going to a strong offensive lineman in a free agency, and then. Because I looked at it like McAdoo probably have a connection with him and everything, so it may be a good fit. And y'all just told me that he's going to resign to Green Bay Packers. So
that's what Ian Rappaport's reporting. Who knows if it's true, but that's what he's saying.
And that's upsetting. That's upsetting. But I want to bring the beef in this free agency. Just bring the beef. Get the big boys. Go get a Dan Williams or a Knighton, Terrence Knighton. Or Wilford, like y'all mentioned earlier, go get one of those big clogs. We need one of those guys.
You know what? I think Williams is a better option than Knighton. I think Knighton's going to get overpaid by somebody. A lot of people say that market for him is pretty hot. And I think Dan Williams might be just as good of a player, and I think a more consistent player. So if I had to choose between those two, I would go to Williams before I go to Knighton.
Yeah, and I like Williams more than I like Knighton, but Knighton is good too, man. He's a big boy, so.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this tackle list right now, Shakes. I got to be honest with you. There aren't a lot of great tackles left on this list.
No. It's,
what about guards, though? That's what I'm thinking
I'm
about.
I'm looking
guards.
At guards next.
You want a guard?
Let me take a peek. Let's see what we got here.
Because that's what I want us to do, because if we don't get one in free agency, we're going to definitely have to go one and get one in the draft.
Has Clint Bowling signed anywhere yet from Cincinnati?
I do not know.
I have not heard his name mentioned.
I heard him in rumors.
I'm not sure if that thing got done yet. Ronald Leary went back to Dallas. I mean, there are some other guys out there that are still around that are, you know, some are a little older. You know, there just wasn't a huge and deep, I think, offensive line free agent crop this year. There just wasn't.
Not at all.
It wasn't. You had to either go get one of those big names or you out of luck.
Let me just say this to you, Shakes, and it will help. Again, I don't know exactly where the Giants view his ceiling, but the CFL import, Brett Jones, the center that they got. By the way, he's not a long snapper, John. I know you guys got to ask that question.
Oh, okay. You looked into it.
I did a lot of research on him. He is not a long snapper, but what he is an outstanding physical talented center who has all of the traits that a guard could use. So I maintain that he's the backup center and will be given the chance to compete at one of the starting guard spots.
I'm not as optimistic as you are.
That's okay.
He's a make-the-team guy, not a star guy.
I'm not so sure. You got to go get one.
Here's what I will just say to you, okay? I got a guy with 40-plus years of personnel and scouting experience who gave me his written report on this kid and is extremely impressed and gave me a much, much, much better review than anything I've seen anywhere else. So I'm going to say don't put a limit on the kid. Let's see what he's got. Let him compete and see what he's got. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, can I say one more thing and then I'll get off?
Yeah.
I still, even if we don't get one, and looks like we're not going to get one in free agency, but if we don't get one in free agency, I still don't want to go high in the first round and get one. You know, I don't want to press to go grab an offensive line. I still think it's enough talent in this draft to grab one. Like, I really like Lincoln Thomason from Duke guard. So.
And you know what? He would probably be there in the second round if that's the guy you want to go after.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
Thank you, Shakes.
Taking my call.
Appreciate it, bud. The other guy that I missed going through this list very quickly a second ago was the veteran Blaylock that got cut by the Falcons. Now, the Falcons' offensive line hasn't exactly been stellar the last few years.
Yeah.
But he's a veteran. He's been around and, you know.
I'm not feeling
it. None of these guys are really exciting. He's also 31. He's on the wrong side of 30.
You know what, just John, when you look at the heights and the weights, a lot of the guards, they're in the low 300 range except for Jackson from Florida State and Tomlinson from Duke, who Shakes just mentioned, Tomlinson.
And he's generally considered the second best guard after A.J. Kemp.
What's happening here is that, you know, the big mammoth slugs that have played guard for some teams.
Slugs.
There are not a lot of those kinds of guys coming out.
Well, you have to move now. The way these college systems are, the linemen have to be able to pull.
That's
and
the point.
Do all that.
That's
sort
my
of stuff.
Point. Yeah. And this goes back to what we talked about, the trends that you see not only in pro football but in college football, and how that alters the talent pool and the skill sets of the guys who are coming out into the draft.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talked about it with the tweeners on the defensive side of the ball. Well, guess what? We see a similar type of adjustment on the offensive guards on the offensive side of the ball.
And I should point this out. Ian Rappaport, this is about a minute ago now, tweets out. Again, this is just a tweet. I'm not confirming anything.
Yes, sir.
Former Patriots running back Shane Vereen is expected to sign with the Giants, I'm told. They needed a versatile back. Will likely get it. Again, this is expected and likely. This is just a report. So just reading that, not confirming anything. I'm just reading a report. That is it. 201-939-4513. I got three calls to go before the end of the show. Let's get to them. Let's go to Christian in New York. Christian, you're up next.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, I just want to say, no matter what happens during free agency, I do not want a first-round wide receiver. And it's mostly because it's such a deep class that you could probably find someone to contribute in the second or third round if you really need someone. And if you give a lineman instead at 9, Eli's proven in the past that he doesn't need premier receivers when he has time.
Well, here's what I would say. I felt that way last year, and John knows I was very strong about Zach Martin in the first round and get a receiver in rounds 2, 3, or even as deep as 4. As it turned out, I was right. The receiver crop last year was terrific, and you could have gotten a dynamite guy in the second, third, even the fourth round. So I understand what you're saying. You're echoing what I felt going into the 2014 draft. Right now, going into this draft, I kind of feel the same way. Personally, I would rather sign a veteran free agent receiver. And John mentioned Devont the other day. I didn't think that was a bad name. You know, I thought Hardline, actually, he's going to go to the Browns now.
I thought that was a decent name, too.
I thought he was a good, good name for the Giants, and he's going to Cleveland, apparently. Remember, the Giants are just looking for a receiver who is probably going to compete with Reuben Randall at the 3, may, if Cruz doesn't turn out to come back to full strength, may have to move up a little bit and be a little bit more responsible on the depth chart. But they're not looking for the 1. They got the 1 in Beckham. They may have the 1A in Cruz if he's okay. They hopefully will get a mature Reuben Randall to be a very strong 3, which means the guy you sign, if everything goes great, he's a 4. So why would you draft a number 1 wide receiver if he's going to be a 4 on your team? You follow?
Absolutely. And last year it was worth it with Beckham because he's just amazing. So I totally understand that pick.
Yeah, and that's what happened. He was just so spectacular. He stuck out like a sore thumb. They felt they had to have him.
Absolutely.
And he's that good.
You got anything
really
else
is
for us?
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Christian in New York is up next. Christian, what's up, pal? That was Christian in New York. I'm sorry. Let's go to Jack in New Jersey. Jack's up next. What's going on, Jack?
What's up, John?
How you doing, Jack?
And by the way, Yahoo Sports, Rand Getlin is also reporting Vereen likely headed to the Giants, but the Pats have the right to match their offer. I guess he knows something about the agent's doings. Maybe they told New England they would go back
again,
to them with a phone call.
We stress these are just reports that we're reading. We're not confirming anything. We're not saying anything is true. We're just reading a report, and that is it.
So do you think they will match his offer?
I have no idea what the Patriots are going to do with their money.
No idea.
All right. I have one question about Antrell. Roll.
Sure.
Is he out of the building? Is he done with the Giants?
I don't think the odds are very good that he'll be back because the Giants are really not of the frame of mind to chase him up the economic ladder.
And
I think he's going to get big money.
The problem, Jack, is that if you look at these contracts being dished out by people, you got to think that he's going to get a pretty sizable contract offer from somewhere else. Whether or not the Giants match it or not, we'll see. But I think he will get a pretty sizable offer from somebody at some point here in free agency.
The market dictates that he's going to be a high-priced guy. It does.
And then what about Walter Thurman? Will he re-sign with the Giants?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not sure what the market's going to be for Walter Thurman. I think he's a good player. I think the Giants would like to have him back. He told us after the year he would want to be back. I was very impressed with him in training camp and in the exhibition and the preseason.
Good team guy.
Good team guy, too. Good personality. I just don't know what the market's going to be like for him.
And I think that's probably right now the feeling out process that he's going through.
I'm sure he's trying to figure out what he can get elsewhere.
Yeah. I think you're right. He's told us he wants to come back. I believe the Giants want him back. But I also believe that's one of those things where, okay, go out, see what's out there first, and, you know, courtesy call, let us know what's the market looking at here, Walter. And, oh, yeah, well, you know what, maybe that's just too much. We can't go there. Or maybe, yeah, really? That's what you're talking about? All right, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's how that's going to go.
All right, thank you. I got it.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thanks for the call. You too, pal. Thanks for calling in. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show is John in New Jersey. Johnny, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, sure. Johnny.
I just wanted to make a point. If you look at all the injuries the Giants sustained last year during the season, I think they had the most injuries of any team in the NFL. And if they get a lot of those guys back, you know, they brought in some good secondary guys, DRC and Thurman, if he resigns, I think the Giants can really focus on the offensive line and the defensive line in the draft and free agency, because that's really what got them to those two Super Bowls, you know, in the last 10 years.
Well, I mean, I also believe that if they think they can get a super stud pass rusher at outside linebacker, you know, you should not discount that. As I like to say, John, defensive front seven. I don't want to restrict it.
Right,
you know?
Right. No, I agree with that. But I just think that, you know, that's where, you know, if you listen to guys like Parcells, that's where it starts. You know, you can have the best receivers in the world, but if you can't, if the quarterback's on his back half the game, then, you know, what good is it? You know?
He brought up an old-timer, one of my guys, Parcells.
Yeah.
I love it. Old school, yes, baby.
Yes, just isn't he?
I cut my teeth on this game listening to guys like Bill Parcells and Tom Boyster and George Young. So anytime somebody wants to bring those guys up, I smile.
And they cut their teeth trying to ignore you.
But that's how Parcells built his teams too.
I understand it.
Absolutely
I really
right.
do.
Absolutely right. All jokes aside, and look, when you listen to the postseason press conference of Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin after the season, both of them talked about getting better up front, being more physical, being tougher, running the ball, stopping the run, getting to the quarterback, protecting Eli. That's what a lot of the talk was after the year where the Giants only have to get better on both sides.
One more thing, guys, if I may.
Sure.
I read this crazy article the other day, and I don't know who wrote it, but I forgot who wrote it. But
Paul Dottino.
That wasn't Paul. It kind of got me aggravated, though, because the guy was saying that the Giants are just going to let Eli play out his contract and then let him go because he didn't think he was that good. I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's great. Now, who are you going to replace him with?
I don't know who would have written that unless they were extremely uninformed.
Yeah.
Very uninformed.
Oh, see, I get Nitino upset.
Well, I mean, look, the only scenario, and let me make this very clear, the only scenario that, in my mind, takes Eli Manning off of this Giants roster and then potentially to somewhere else is if he were to suffer a career-threatening or career-ending injury. Otherwise, right. I believe he will play out his career with the New York Giants, and I think there are several more years to go on the back end.
Yeah,
and I strongly believe that. I strongly believe that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with him more, Paul. Hey,
thank
guys,
you.
Have a great day. Appreciate it.
I'll
you too.
Track down this story that he's talking about here. Let's see if I can find one. Let's see. Well, Dan Graziano reported last week that the Giants were unlikely to extend him. I don't think he made the comments that he didn't think he was very, very good or not a good player. I see this thing on one of these fan websites, so I wouldn't take that too seriously. Trust me, the Giants want Eli here for the rest of his career, and Eli wants to be here for the rest of
yes.
his career.
Yes, and I think that be very careful when someone says, you know, Eli's unlikely to get an extension. Well, are they talking about today,
right.
next week, tomorrow? I can't tell you the date that he's going to sign an extension with the Giants. I believe it will happen, but again, I don't care if it's today, tomorrow, next week, next month, August, January of next year. I think it will happen. All things being equal, I think it will happen. Now, would it help their cap situation this year? Well, if they need it, well, then maybe at that time they go to him and see if they can make it happen at that appropriate time. But other than that, it's not even a question for me, you know?
By the way, I just found out. We had a couple tweets coming in from our man at FFingerL. Apparently, okay. He listens to us every day in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Is there a time difference in Brazil?
You know, that's a good question. Is there a time? I think Brazil is actually east of us, right? Because it sticks out into the ocean more, into the Atlantic.
So if it's east, then that means we're on a little earlier, maybe during his breakfast?
Well, I already got – no, I don't think it's that much. I already got in trouble with our listener, Jim, in Ecuador last week. I wasn't sure if – 1 hour ahead. Yes,
1 hour.
1 hour Eastern times, east of us.
So potentially brunch.
Potentially. I got in trouble with our listener, Jim, in Ecuador. I wasn't positive Ecuador was Central or South America. Apparently it's Northern South America, and Jim was all over me. He was not happy. And I'm actually pretty good at my geography, but I wasn't quite positive where Ecuador was. I apologize to all our Ecuadorian listeners out there.
The only geography that I'm assured of is 100 yards.
New Jersey is pretty much where your life begins and ends,
yards,
isn't it?
With lines on it. That's the geography I know.
Let me ask you this. If it wasn't for work, when's the last time you left the Eastern time zone?
I can't even think about it.
That's why Paul Dottino is Paul Dottino.
I'm a Jersey Soprano, folks. Born and raised and proud of it.
All right. Lance, I'll be with you next couple days. Anita on Friday. Are you in again this week, Paul, or no?
I'm in Friday, too.
You're in Friday with Anita. Great. Excellent. So they'll be with you on Friday, me and Lance, the next couple of days as we continue free agency. And moves start coming down the pike, folks. Stay tuned to Giants.com for all the official word on when these signings become official. It's the only place we found that exactly when things are done. Rumors are rumors, but you get the facts. On Giants.com. Make sure you stay tuned. We got a great free agency page up there. Check it out. Great resource seeing what players are available. When guys come off the board, we'll remove them. We'll, you know, highlights, all that sort of stuff. Make sure you check it out on Giants.com, our special free agency page. It really is fantastic. Make sure you check that out. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. He's close to the computer. That means we're done right here.
We're
on
done.
Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One of the end zone.